We got to just stay focused, and the players that are playing, they have to be ready to play, and that's just all it is. You know, we can't be worried about who's going to be in, who's going to be out, who we got, what we got, and that's just what it is. So if you're in there, you better be ready to play.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. And we go to the OBM hotline right now to be joined by the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan. Jim, obviously a bummer of a Monday here after the Browns' opening performance against the Jets. Your thoughts on what you saw yesterday in New York?
Yeah, very disappointing, Nathan. You know, we went in thinking it was a very winnable game, and I have to be honest with you, the way they started, it looked that way too. It looked like it was a very, very winnable game. I thought that they, at one point, that they were going to open up not only a lead, but kind of a big lead in the game, and then it just really imploded on them on some explosive plays, and then in the second half, it just wasn't there at all. You know, as far as, you know, coming out of the gate and starting on the road, I don't think the Browns could have started any better than the way they did on that first drive. Unfortunately, it had a horrific end to it. But even after that, it looked as though they were going to get through that and make some plays. And you know, the things that go against you, you know, on the road, you just have to fight through them. So even through the bizarre play of Gibson's interception getting stolen from him, And even that snap that whizzed past Ryan Fitzpatrick that the Browns didn't dig out in that pile, which would have given them the ball inside the five-yard line, I really thought they were going to fight their way through that. But there was very little fight after that. I just thought that it just all the air came out of them.
Jim, there's going to be a lot of words coming out of Berea, both out of the coaches' mouths, players as well as the locker room availability will happen here probably in the next hour or so. But for the Browns fan, is the next positive that they can take or the way to get over a loss like this has to come next Sunday against the Tennessee Titans, does it not?
Yeah, I really think so, Matt. I think that really we looked at the first three games and, you know, on the highest bit of optimism thought, hey, they could be 3-0. But they definitely need to be 2-1. I think a lot of people feel that because of what lies after these three games in the schedule, and it's going to be difficult. So I think a lot of people feel they have to be 2-1 after these two home games. And now that these become then really must wins early in the year. So I definitely think that, you know, they have to win on Sunday to get themselves going, to get the bad taste of what happened yesterday out of their mouths, and just to show us what kind of football team we have here. And can they sustain it for an entire game? And can they, you know, capitalize on the things that went against them yesterday, being on the road and having things go against you? Can they be the good home team and force that kind of situation on Tennessee this week and Oakland next week and capitalize on that and win games?
Jim, I made a comment at the beginning of the show that in some ways the Browns have constructed themselves to play a game that is no longer the game du jour in the National Football League. And when you construct yourself that way, it's fine. Teams have had success with it. But you need to go out and be competent at your core competencies. Not even competent. You need to be excellent. So for this team, what would that be? Offensive line, running the football,
right,
and then great defense. What worried me is that none of the things that this team has decided it was going to focus all its energy on, rather than, say, playmakers, came to fruition. In fact, they were beaten at their own game and beaten soundly.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. 100%. Because there was really no push, no separation from the offensive line. And that was the given coming into the year, that they were going to be really, really good and allow them to do a lot of good things. But that wasn't there at all yesterday. And the running attack was really, you know, just zero. Defensively, third down again, Nathan, that we talked about so much last year and statistically played out at the end of the year when you looked at it, and the Browns couldn't get off the field on third down, and they didn't get off the field on third down yesterday. And then there's that awful feeling, you know, in the game that when you're watching it unfold in front of you, You're saying Ryan Fitzpatrick, at this point in the game, has everything going in the game. They're running, and he's third down and short, and he's got a great matchup, obviously, with Brandon Marshall. He doesn't have a bad matchup with Decker. And it became just systematic for them. So you're right. The things that the Browns are going to have to do really well each and every Sunday to be in what we still believe are going to be very, very tight games, they didn't even come close to doing that yesterday. And thus, I would have never believed that that would have been a 31-10 game, and certainly for the Jets, and yet that's how it happened.
Absolutely, Jim. And again, we saw the first career touchdown pass for Johnny Manziel, and I just like your overall take of his performance yesterday.
You know, Matt, I have to tell you, I said this, and albeit it was just before halftime, but he looks night and day better. Yep. Than he did at any point in the brief amount of time that we saw him play last year. But he just looked so much more settled, and, you know, he's not – there are no happy feet, and I thought he hit the eject button and got out of there at all the right times. Unfortunately, he had a couple of, you know, situations where he had two good runs wiped out each time by penalties. But, you know, the pass in the third quarter was bad. I mean, it was on the wrong side. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the Jets jumped on that and ended up with a short field. And so that's going to happen, I guess. And we're still, you know, because he has played so little. But other than that, I thought he looked, you know, you come out of it and you say, well, you know, at least he looked pretty good. I really did. I was very happy with the way he played. I was happy with some of the throws he made, and certainly the headline throw was the one to Benjamin. But I thought that they had a fighting chance with him going in there. But when he went into the game, I was very concerned about everything that he wasn't able to do. Would he be able to throw? Would he be able to compete with very little practice time and very little playing time in the preseason? And I thought he did. I thought he did compete. Now, he's going to have to take care of the ball and do all of these other things, too. But I thought that in the progression of Johnny Manziel, I walked away and said, hey, I think he can go in and play. So if he does have to play this week and if he does get a full week of preparation, I am kind of anxious to see him play on Sunday if that's going to be what we're going to deal with.
I agree with that. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. He looked more prepared to me, and we've heard about his night and day approach in the building and outside of the building, but he looked more prepared to me to go in and play against the Jets than he did when he started that game against the Bengals or the Panthers a year ago. So it does speak to maybe there is some truth to what we've been hearing about his ability to prepare and get ready to play on Sundays, which I agree with you is certainly a positive thing. What does Mike Pettine say to this team, and what did you make of the fact that, take away the things we talked about, you know, the lack of a pass rush, the inability to run the football, 12 penalties and 5 turnovers. I started the show off talking about two numbers, 17 and 5. The Browns had 17 penalties plus turnovers. The Jets had 5. You can't win in the NFL playing that way. What do you make of just kind of the sloppiness of this team?
Well, when you put those numbers together, just like you did right there, and if you didn't know it was a regular season game, you would say to yourself, oh, well, that's like a first preseason game performance by a team. A lot of penalties, turnovers, but really a lot of penalties. So I would have to say that, you know, you got to be a lot more ready to play in this game this Sunday and every Sunday, but let's just deal with the Titans, than you obviously were in taking attention to detail in the game yesterday. So, you know, you have to do everything to hold on to the football, but you just can't turn it over. And the Browns definitely can't turn it over because, let's face it, as you mentioned, they're challenged in the category of playmakers and explosiveness. I mean, it's going to be a pretty methodical journey down the field, just like that first drive was in the game. Yeah. So I really believe that, you know, that to me was shocking, that because they looked crisp when those first teamers played, when the starters played down in Tampa, which seems like a month ago. But anyway, when they played in that game, they looked crisp. I mean, everything looked good to the point where you said, okay, they're ready to go. But certainly yesterday, they were not ready to go in detail type of situations that ended up getting them flagged. And anytime they got any kind of momentum going, they march backwards. So, you know, that has to be snipped very, very quickly.
Jim, a lot of what you just talked about, the one word that kind of reigns supreme in my mind is responsibility. And that's my question for you. who do you believe takes responsibility for the product on the football field, and what percentage, I guess, would you put on the coaches and would you put on the players that actually went out and performed yesterday in the Meadowlands?
Well, I mean, you know, the coach yesterday right after the game, Matt, said we own it. We do definitely have to coach better. But this is a team that I think, you know, the key area groups really feel that they are going to be very, very good. So I am surprised, and I will be surprised, if this defense doesn't come out and play a whole lot better on Sunday than they did yesterday. Because to come out and say that you're going to have a top three secondary in the NFL and just get drilled like that and picked apart, to come out and say that you definitely are going to be, you know, in the upper echelon defensively overall, and you're going to eradicate this historic problem of not being able to stop the run and to give up that kind of an effort again, you know, now you have to back up your words. So it's great to say that, and it's optimistic, and we all want to hear that when we're getting set, you know, for training camp and preseason and then the regular season. But then when you see it, when it really counts and nothing's changed, in fact, it really, that was a really, you know, that, I mean, they never really seemed to play defense like that last year. That's alarming right now. So I think that, you know, I appreciate that Mike Pettine said yesterday, as a coaching staff, we own it. We have to coach better. And I would assume they definitely do. And I think that will get taken care of very quickly if that's the case. But to both groups, offensive line and the entire defense, I would say, hey, back up what you told us you were going to be great in, and that is that you're going to be a great offensive line, and show us and help out this running game. You're going to be a dominant defense? Well, you're a long way from that, but okay, we're still in. Now show it to us, and you have to back up what you promise.
You do. Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And, yeah, I think you're right. You got to find a way to back that up. What was your reaction to the inactive list yesterday? Because it was, I found, to be very, very interesting, because I know that some people had been battling injury, but everybody had practiced all week long, and the worst person out there was questionable. Were you surprised to see the names on that inactive list yesterday?
Yeah, I was. I was really surprised. I was deflated a little bit when there was more, talk early in the day, certainly yesterday, even before we all got to the stadium, that Dwayne Bowe was going to be inactive. To me, that was very, very disappointing because, you know, again, we're buying into Dwayne Bowe, but we haven't seen any kind of payoff on that or any evidence that he is going to be what we signed up for in signing him. And so I was very, very disappointed in that because I realized that, you know, they need all hands on deck at that particular position. And the quarterbacks need a guy like that to be in the offense with them. And he wasn't going to be there. So that was very, very disappointing. I mean, really disappointing. And Nathan, I thought it was a little bit of a gamble to go in with just the two quarterbacks and the one quarterback, you know, Manziel having a spotty week at best, in that, you know, he did have at the beginning of the week anyway, you know, some soreness in that elbow, and that you would go into a game like that and leave yourself in that kind of a situation. That's what I was saying to you when McCown went out and we're in commercial break, Matt. I'm going to Nathan. Nathan, who is the emergency quarterback if Manziel goes down there? So I thought that was a bit of a gamble. And, you know, the Gilbert situation, I mean, yeah, I don't understand that whole thing anyway, and what transpired before, after practice on Friday. So, I mean, that's just that's a world that, you know, it's been tough to be an inhabitant of. That's part of the universe with Justin Gilbert's problem. So, I thought it was a little bit disappointing. The Bowe thing was a huge disappointment, I think.
Yeah, I think when you looked at it, you had your first-round pick from last year.
Right.
You had your second-round pick from this year. You had your third-round pick from this year.
Right.
And you had your $9 million free agent all down for week one.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't even touched on Orchard. You're right.
Or so, Xavier Cooper.
Or Xavier Cooper, who I thought did. I never thought Xavier Cooper did anything poorly in the preseason.
Right.
So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Where's this pass rush going to come from?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have to tell you, when I saw Solomon go down very early and then Mingo's got to really play an awful lot, I really don't know. I think that it has to come. The first guy that you look at is the guy that led the way last year in Kruger. But, you just really hope that it's going to be spread around and that it's going to be effective, because they really never – well, they didn't get home at all yesterday. And you know, I know that Joe Haden had a tough day, but he knew it was going to be a tough day going in. But without a pass rush, I mean, it became even more difficult, I think, for him in that matchup to hold on or to stay in the same vicinity in the right position against Brandon Marshall. But I don't know, Nathan. After yesterday, it was very, very disappointing.
Yeah, they were the most penalized team in the NFL yesterday. They turned the ball over more than anybody in the NFL yesterday, and that is not going to be a winning formula for this team. Jim, appreciate the time, and we will talk with you again as we get ready for the Titans game and what will hopefully be a better performance from the Browns.
All right, guys. Hopefully that will be the case.
We hope.
Yes.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, we'll be
Thanks.
Back. Phone lines will be open again, 216-578-0850. For updating you on the Radiothon, we'll do our grades Wednesday morning, man.
Sure.
Since we're going to be on from 6 to 9 in the morning
Wednesday. Tune in, everyone.
So tune into
your morning drive.
Yes, that's when Matt and I will be back together again. All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.